in this passage of the boy Samuel ministering to the Lord, our scripture tells us, under the mentorship, the leadership of Eli. We hear a word pronounced several times throughout this passage of scripture, a word named calling. So often, I don't know about you all, when I was growing up in the faith, a boy like Samuel, I often thought of the calling to our faith. The calling, let's even say, to ministry, even a more frightening word, was to be a calling only for a select few. But you know, as I've grown, as the boy Samuel did, I've come to understand that when we put our hope in Jesus Christ and we seek to follow Him in the words of our gospel reading today, that we all have a calling. We don't have to be called into professional ministry or even ordained ministry as an elder or pastor in a church. But we all have a role to play in making this world more reflective of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we pray for? When we pray the Lord's Prayer and we say, "Your kingdom come," we are to be Christ's light in love in our world and embrace our calling. That's what I want to focus on today. You know, when we think of the word calling and God's call upon us, Frederick Buechner, one of the great theologians and ministers in our faith, says this about calling. He said, "Your calling, embracing that calling, is where your deep gladness meets the world's deep hunger." Isn't that beautiful? That God would gift all of us, specially with gifts that no one else, perhaps in our community, our region, or even the entire world around us, are gifted in the specific way we are. The things that bring us gladness, that we are gifted with, where there are needs. Friends, that is our calling. That's bigger than us. That's the Holy Spirit breathing life into our ministry. But you know, for me, as I reflected on this text today, even beyond the 30,000 foot view of calling to a specific ministry or vocation, profession, in our life. You know, I think there's a deeper message here today too. In addition to that, that God's call is before us daily. Isn't that encouraging to know? That God yearns to speak life and direction into our journey to help us along as we search the Lord's direction in our family, in our professions, in our sports teams, in those that we impact. So as we dive into this scripture and look attentively to Samuel's calling and Eli's journey along with him, let's listen to see if there's guidance for us as we seek to hear the still small voice of God daily in our own journey. Now let's do this. You know, for me at times, I don't know about y'all, when I'm wrestling with a decision, or I feel that, you know, maybe God is wanting me to take this action or do something, oftentimes I just yearn for clarity. Haven't you been there? God, I just want to know. Will you speak it clearly to me? Will you let me know? Is this of God? Or is this the evil one tempting me, just trying to confuse me? Sometimes discerning God's call in our daily life and in our larger professional career can be confusing, right? Well, today I think there's hints in this Old Testament reading. Not that this is to say this is every way that God calls and speaks and guides us daily, but these are some of the ways that I think can accompany our journey with the Lord, even as they did Samuel. So as we hear this passage, I want to reflect on the call that Samuel had by using that very word as an acronym to dive into this text to see how God equipped Samuel to hear his calling upon his life and ministry and inspire him to respond. The first thing, the first letter of the acronym CALL, as we know, is the C. And what I see in the C of this text is that there is a consensus in God's call upon our life. A consensus in our call, perhaps to a new profession. A consensus to a decision we're trying to make with our leadership team at work. You know, I have found in my journey, when I've been in leadership roles, that God, the Holy Spirit, speaks through unity. When your church session is making decisions, when I really feel the Spirit is guiding us in a direction, is when we have that peace, that unity that God is guiding us. There is a consensus, right? You know, consensus isn't only working within groups. Sometimes it can be just two people, right? It can be like our scripture said today, that as Eli was serving the Lord, he was also serving the one he was mentoring. Samuel trusted Eli to guide him in his faith. God used Eli, in other words. So I think what this scripture is saying to us too, even within the consensus of those spiritual guides that we trust, we all need spiritual guides, sojourners, people we trust in the faith who help us discern what God may be saying to us. And sometimes, like Samuel, it may be that one mentor as well. God can speak through as few as one or as many as a limitless number. But there's a special holiness, I believe, in unity. You know, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 14, we do not have a God of confusion or disorder, but we have a God of peace, Paul would say, and it's for the building up of the church. I love that. You see, we see that unity where there's no confusion when we're discerning. When we find that peace, friends, that certainly is God speaking and working among us. The Holy Spirit is breathing life into us. So the sea of our call is certainly consensus, even as Eli helped Samuel understand that call. We have that same. What comes after C on the word call? Does anybody know? Rito, you know what it is? Rhino. It's an A. The A of call. This is the next step as we hear in this text today, that the A that Samuel exemplified in receiving his calling is that he was attentive, obedient to God and his ministry to the Lord. See, I heard it in our text today, and I know you did too, that he was serving the Lord. Did you hear that? As it said, he was ministering to the Lord in the sanctuary. Speak, Lord, as he responded with Eli's instruction. He said, speak, Lord. That's proclaiming that you are God and I'm not. And he also knew who he was. He knew who God was. Speak, Lord. And he knew who he was. He said, your servant is listening. He understood that his role was to be obedient to God, to serve God for God's glory. As Jennifer read, I shared in our gospel reading today, when Jesus offered the call to his disciples, it was to those who would be obedient. His request to them was, his invitation to them was, follow me. And he called those who would follow. You know, my friend Abner White, Monya and I have talked about Abner at times and had Abner's restaurant. Some of y'all may have eaten his chicken before. Most of my friends have to do with eating in some way. But Abner and his wife Karen came when we were in college. Of course, she wasn't his wife then. We took them to First Monday. Wanted to give them some culture here in North Mississippi, in Ripley and Tippah County. I told them it's the only place in the world that you can buy a wedding dress and a bird dog in the same location. And I took them out there, and they wanted a dog. They wanted a beagle. We got a beagle. We thought it was a beagle. The price had not been set. I went up there and negotiated, Randall, and I asked the guy who had the bird dog, I said, well, would you take $10 for him? Boy, he couldn't answer quick enough. He said, yeah. So they bought their bird dog. They thought it was a beagle. It wasn't a beagle. It ended up being some kind of bird dog mix. And named him Flea, because they got him at the flea market. And Flea was kind of like me. He didn't graduate number one in obedience class when it come to day's school in the doghouse. He wasn't the smartest, the sharpest tool in the drawer. And Flea went bird hunting once with Abner, and someone in the distance started shooting. Well, Flea took off. He wanted to go get their birds. Invaded their camp, was over there hunting them. Abner was calling, "Flea, Flea, Flea." He never did respond, never came back. So you know what Abner did? He pulled up his shotgun. He shot two or three times. "Here come Flea running." He stopped calling him verbally because Flea wasn't being obedient. Friends, God's call is here for us to be obedient and respond to the master in a far greater way than a dog is called to respond to their master. You see, when we call those that we serve with, we anticipate and yearn for there to be an embrace with that enthusiasm. Certainly God's call for us is that too as well. To be attentive and obedient and seek to serve and know that God is Lord. To seek to glorify the Lord. The first L of call, I think, in our text today is a reminder that we hear God's call, God's daily guidance for us when we listen. You know, for me at times, I've said this in sermons and to some of you individually. For me at times, it's so tempting to say, "God, I've got a great plan. I've got a great idea. If you'll just bless what I want to do, this is all going to work out. Give me that $1 million that I need. And I'll give this much to church, and I'll do this much of that." Haven't we all at times prayed prayers like this? "God, here's what we need to do. Now you just bless it and give me what I want." Now there's nothing wrong with petitionary prayers where we ask God. I heard one theologian say, Mark Batterson, an author, say once, we need to pray for specific things because if we don't, we never can see the faithfulness of God answering our prayers. But even as we pray for those specifics, what if we also pray with a listening spirit? Not always come to God with our laundry list of what we want, but come to God with open hands saying, "What do you want? I'm listening." You see, that was the transition in our text today where Eli got it right in him helping Samuel to discern that call. He said this. He said, "Go lie down again, and this time if he calls, say what? Say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" Samuel ran. He wanted to serve. That was his response when he first heard the call. Did you hear how our text told us? When he heard the call, he heard the call of God, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel's response was this: "Here I am. Your servant's ready to go. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play." Hadn't even listened. He said, "I'm ready to take action." Oh, woe is me. So often I'm that way bitten. I want to take action. I want to do something. I want to fix the problem. Samuel was ready. "Here I am, your servant. You called me." Eli said, "Look, before we act, we got to listen. Before our coaches here today put their ball team out there and take action and try to win the game, they're going to breathe instruction into them. They want them to listen to the game plan. How much more important is that in our journey of discerning God's call upon us professionally and daily as we seek to walk in His ways? The last L of the call is not only do we listen, but it's what we listen to. And here it is: God speaks to us legibly. God's call is legible for us. When you think of something being legible, it's easy to understand, it's easy to read, it's easy to follow. In other words, friends, even as we heard in that 1 Corinthians text, God's call is not disunity or confusion. God's call is clear. if we have to ask what I felt the Spirit leading me into many times lately, if we have to ask, is this of God? Then it's probably not of God. Or it's not time for us to know right then. God's call is clear. We don't have to ask. Often when I'm praying for discernment with a group of people or individuals, I cry out and I say, God, make it so clear that we don't even have to ask the question. The yes is there. The amen is present in the knowing. You see, that's what happened in Samuel's call in our text today. Did you hear it? There was no doubt who God was talking to. I saw an exclamation point in my scripture, Randall. His call that he received for God 2 times. Samuel, Samuel. Friends, as you seek to discern God's guidance in your family, in your career, in your daily walk, may you search through listening before acting. May you search knowing that God will speak clearly to you through Holy Scripture, through prayer, through mentors, as we've spoken of. God will speak to you through consensus. God speaks to us, finally, in the spirit of Samuel, when we are attentive and we are obedient, seeking to serve the world for God's glory and not our own. And when we embrace that call, it won't always be easy, but we will know a joy in journeying faithful with our Lord to His call that we never would know out of His will. May God bless you and your call this day and forevermore. Let's pray. Oh God, we are thankful that you entrust us as your church to minister to this world on your behalf. How humbling that is. Even Jesus, as you called your disciples and said, "Follow me," and you called your faithful prophets and priests, like Samuel, you call coaches and school teachers, grocery store managers, administrators in mental health organizations, musicians, people who work in safety and transportation. You call us who are health workers. You call us who are church administrators, who are road builders and builders of community. Your call is for us all. We praise you for that, God, and we want to be faithful in listening to you and discerning your desire, yes, in our professional career, but in our daily walk. We pray also for the church around us, this congregation, and all churches that proclaim and practice your gospel, O God. Will you inspire and empower them? We pray, O Lord, for the resources to minister in this community. This is such a giving worship community, and we're grateful to know the joy of living outside of ourselves. Thank you that we have had the resources this past year to give to get together for TIPA, to our Good Samaritan Center, to our hunger grants, for many ways that we're showing God's light and love, not just preaching about it. We pray, O Lord, for our nation. In this time of transition, we ask that you bless us this week with peace and unity in every way and restore our land beyond our brokenness. We pray for healing from the virus that continues to impact so many of our friends and families. We pray especially for healthcare workers who are in the line of challenges. I pray especially today for my Uncle Larry, who was up airlifted last night back to Memphis, who continues to know great challenges in his health. We ask for comfort in him. And if it can be in your pleasing will, O God, bring healing and wholeness to him. We pray for all of our friends and loved ones that you've entrusted us to most of all. And now, God, as we hear and pray this prayer together, we pray for everyone who's listening. And we pray with everyone who's listening. Will our heart's desires, O God,
when they're in accordance and obedient to your will, when they are pleasing with you, would you open the floodgates of heaven and pour forth miracles of grace, O God? And when our wants are inconsistent with your holy need, will you prepare us to hear the no and the other yes that you have us in our prayers? God, not only do we pray for those we're closest to and friends and family, but Lord, we pray for those from whom we're estranged, maybe even our enemies. Will you bring healing and wholeness in every way to our relationship as we seek to focus on what holds us in common, your love and your grace. And now, God, as your children, we join our voices as one and say in prayer the words you taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.